Good morning. And once again, we've heard a great testimony. Gail, thank you so much for offering that. That was wonderful. We had to hear stories from so many different people and have appreciated all of you offering those. We have a video, another video I want to show you. Susie Carney oversees our Kids Hope program. She is recruiting for this coming year, so she's asked to do this. So if you guys will dim the lights back up here, I'll run this video. So we could use some more mentors. The mentors are really making a difference in the lives of these children. I'll just tell you a very quick story. And I know some of you are not available to do this, but I just want you to know the significance of what's happening here. It was probably 6 months ago or so. Lisa and I were having dinner at Jalapeno Tree, and I looked over and I saw the little boy with his family that Walter mentors. And he happens to mentor on the same day as me, so I see this little boy and talk to him a lot, but he's extremely quiet, hardly ever says a word. It took Walter forever to get him to speak up at all about anything. So I go over and I say hi to this little boy, and then I introduce myself to his grandmother and his mother and tell them how I know them, know the boy from Kids Hope, and I know his mentor. And the grandmother said, "Oh, he talks about Walter all the time." Which would have been news to Walter. But it just goes to show you the impact that mentors make on these children. So if you are interested in being a mentor, we mentor at Regae Elementary. Susie Carney is in charge of all that. Susie, would you please stand up so people can see who you are? Give us the princess wave. Find Susie Carney and you can mentor a child. Again, if you have a prayer request or want to meet with the elders about something, if you're interested in being a disciple of Jesus and being baptized into Christ, our elders are always open to talk to you about that. But whatever your need might be, two of our elders and their wives will be in the conference room, which is out the back door and to the left. And at the end of the lesson, you can go and meet with them. Of course, if you are wanting to be baptized into Christ this morning, you can just come right up to the front at the end of the lesson and we'll do that as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we do thank you for so many blessings in our lives. And should we sit down and write them out, we would spend hours and hours doing so and surely leave something out. We thank you for all the good things that you have passed on to us, directly and indirectly. And as we think about those blessings and passing those blessings on to others this morning, ask, Father, that you would help us to hear your word, that you would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word. It's to your Son we pray. Amen. You might have seen the 2000 movie Pay It Forward, little Trevor McKinney. I think he was in seventh grade, something like that. In a social studies class, the teacher challenges all the students to come up with this project that would make a difference, that would change the world, and then put that project into action. And he decides to pay it forward, that when somebody does something good for him, rather than paying it back, that he would pass that blessing on to someone else, and they would pass it on to someone else. And the movie shows that going on. And the movie's quite inspiring, very good movie. If you've not ever seen it, I would encourage you to watch it. But the idea of paying it forward is really not that new of an idea. Wikipedia says the phrase may have actually been coined by Lily Hardy Hammond in her 1916 book, In the Garden of Delight. Actually, I think paying it forward is a little older than that. So God appears to this man named Abram and says, I am going to bless you. Now, Abram was a guy who worshipped idols like everyone else around him worshipped idols. But God appeared to him, and we read about this in Genesis chapter 12. Go from your country, God said to Abram, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. Now, I assumed that all the idols that Abram had been worshiping before never spoke to him, so it had to be something of a shock when God talks to him. And I'm really curious about how that happened. Was there a voice out of the clouds? Did God come in the form of a person as he does later on? I really don't know. But God speaks to Abram and gives him this call to leave his home. And he's done pretty well where he is. Abram really seems to be pretty wealthy. But God sends him out on this with this promise. And so he goes on in Genesis chapter 12 saying this, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I wonder if all of that time when God is speaking to Abram, if Abram ever stopped and asked, why me? Why should the creator of the universe, why should I catch his eye? What have I done that the creator of the universe would want to bless me? Because if he would have stopped and asked that question, the obvious answer is nothing. I've done nothing. And this is the essence of grace. It is a gift you do not deserve. It is a blessing that you have not earned. And I want you to notice once again what is said in this blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And I will, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So the blessing is not just for Abram. Abram is going to be blessed by this, but the blessing is not just for him. It is to pass through him. It is for all people. So Abram is supposed to be a channel of blessing, that the blessing will come to him and help him, but then go on to others and help other people as well. The Apostle Paul, of course, gives us the ultimate fulfillment of that in Christ in the book of Galatians. He says this, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. And of course, we think about the blessings that come through Jesus Christ and that it is for all the world. And so that's the ultimate fulfillment in all this because Jesus is a descendant of Abraham. But what's interesting if you read the book of Genesis is that God doesn't wait till Jesus to begin fulfilling this blessing. Abram, later name changed to Abraham. Abraham has a nephew named Lot, and Lot is blessed by his association of being around Abraham. And so the blessings are already starting to happen. Then Abraham has a son named Isaac, and Isaac is hanging out with the Philistines. And guess what's happening to the Philistines when Isaac is with them? They are blessed greatly. Isaac has a son named Jacob, and Jacob hangs out with the Arameans, and the Arameans are blessed by their relationship with Jacob. Jacob has a son named Joseph, and Joseph, as you know, is sold into slavery down in Egypt. But then this great famine comes, and Joseph blesses all of Egypt because of the position that he is in. So all nations of the earth being blessed through Abram's seed does not wait just till Jesus. It's already happening in the book of Genesis. Abraham is paying it forward and passing on those blessings that God has given him. And as long as the descendants of Abraham, the people of Israel, did that, as long as they became channels of blessing, then they received great blessings in their lives. It's only when they stopped, all those blessings just stopped with them and piled up with them, that they became something like the Dead Sea. And they themselves began to die. How many of you are gardeners? Gardeners in here? Anybody growing a garden at your house? Okay. I want you to imagine, let me get my basket out here. I want you to imagine that you have a garden on steroids, okay? You open this thing up here. So now you've got potatoes. How many of you eat potatoes? You like potatoes? Okay. So you've got potatoes coming out your ears. All right. Tomatoes. How many of you like tomatoes? What is the matter with you people? These were made for the compost bin. But you eat them anyway. Okay. Tomatoes. Corn. And you've got your garden on steroids, so you got corn coming out your ears. You like that? Okay. And squash. How many of you grow squash? Who can't grow squash? This stuff grows everywhere. So you got squash everywhere. I got running out of places for this stuff. And carrots, right? If the rabbits didn't eat them up and the gophers, you've got carrots. And you've got carrots coming out your ears. Then, of course, cantaloupe, right? So you've got this garden on steroids, and it's just producing and producing, and your freezer is full, and then you've been canning, and all your cabinet space is full, and still you've got more coming. And you've got a next-door neighbor that really doesn't have very much to eat. So what do you do? Well, you buy a bigger freezer so you can have more, right? And you get the storage place so you can and put more in there. And you know what you are? You are a veggie hoarder. Some of us are blessing hoarders. How many of you, just raise your hand to this, how many of you drink water that does not have a guinea worm in it? All of you, raise your hands. Unless you live in certain parts of Africa, that's what you get. We have great water in Nacogdoches. Just go down and drink that Lufkin water. We have great water. How many of you had plenty to eat this week? Or maybe more than plenty, huh? Right? How many of you have had an opportunity for an education? Right? How many of you would have died except for some medical procedure that was performed on you? I had my gallbladder out. It was a simple procedure. I went home the same day. I asked the doctor, what happened if you don't take that out? He said, you die and it's painful. Let's do this. Simple things. What blessings. How many of you have people around you and in your life that you love and are loved by you? Right? How many of you have been given a hand in your life by your parents or someone else? Now guess where all of that has come from? Same place Abram got it, from the Lord. God has blessed us immensely. Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they're in this city telling people about Jesus, and they're performing these miracles, and people want to worship them, and they're saying, wait, don't worship us. We're here to tell you about the living God, the Creator. And they say this to them, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven, like we're having today, right? And crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. All of those blessings are from the Creator who loves His creation, who loves His people. We regularly ask God to bless America. Folks, God has blessed America. Greatly blessed us. And if you were a disciple of Jesus Christ, He has blessed you even more. Listen again to the Apostle Paul. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. One writer describing the blessings we have in Christ put it this way. He said, we have an acceptance that can never be questioned. We have a love that cannot be surpassed. We have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. A deliverance that can never be excelled. A grace that can never be limited. A hope that can never be disappointed. A joy that can never be diminished. A righteousness that can never be tarnished. A salvation that can never be canceled. We are extremely blessed. And then the question comes, what are we doing with these blessings? Are we channeling these blessings onto others, or are we hoarding these blessings? Is it passing through us, or is that pipe kind of getting clogged up and it's just stopping with us? Are we receivers and givers, or are we simply receivers of these blessings? When you hear the word grace, what do you think of? Very often we think of something like this, you know, who's going to say grace, right? Or you might think of grace as an ice skater, just graceful. Or you might think of sweet little young girls that you know named Grace. Most of us, I think of God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul again describes this in the book of Ephesians. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But actually, grace is much more nuanced than this. In the Bible, grace is this gift that God gives to you, but it's an ability that God gives to you also. So in Ephesians, Paul is talking about people who have been given gifts of leadership so that they can serve others, so that they can help others. And the word he uses for that is grace. And so he says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And to the Christians in Corinth, he talked about them giving money, and he talked about that as a grace. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. And so God saves us by his grace, certainly, but he also channels all of that to us and then through us onto others. So the Apostle Peter would say this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God has graced each of us with salvation. But he's also graced us with gifts to help others. He's also graced us with money to help others. He's graced us with time to help others. And he's graced us with opportunity to help others. I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's a lot of need for grace in our world. In fact, specifically, we could just think right here in our own community. I think about the problems in our schools. A lot of our children are lagging behind. And I don't mean just our children, just the children in the community are lagging behind in their education. If that continues to happen, they're not going to be able to be productive citizens in society. And in fact, they're going to have a very difficult time getting by. And there's all manner of reasons for why they're lagging behind. Maybe there's absentee parents not helping them with their schoolwork. A lot of them come from homes with poverty, so they're not getting really anything to eat before they come to school. And they have some difficult home lives there. There's overloaded classrooms, dilapidated facilities at the schools. And then there's discipline issues in the classrooms and on, of course, we can go with all the problems in the schools. But the reasons for these problems are less important than the solutions. And we cannot, folks, we cannot wait for the government to come up with solutions. Some of us think that they're the problem. And so the people of God must come up with the solutions. And how is it we can be salt and light and pass on our blessings like Abraham did, not just to us, but through us to people in our community, specifically to children? I appreciate so much the prayer regarding children this morning. And some of us are already doing that. The video on mentoring was the point of that. That there are folks mentoring. I don't know what the number is. We had 20 to 25 people mentoring at Regay Elementary. But imagine if we had 50 at Regay Elementary mentoring a child there. And imagine if every church in Nacogdoches had 50 people from their church mentoring in the schools all around town. What kind of impact could we have then? Last year, Lisa and I went to a dinner on the campus of SFA. New organization started in Nacogdoches called Concerned Black Men of Nacogdoches. This is an organization that goes back to the 70s when four police officers in Philadelphia really disliked how the media was portraying a lot of black youth in Philadelphia, and they disliked how a lot of black youth were behaving in Philadelphia. And so they committed themselves to go into the schools and mentor in those schools. And now we have 30 or 40 men that were standing up at this dinner saying, we will go into the schools and we will mentor those children. Folks, that's how we're going to bring a blessing into those schools. Some of you are doing it with children in your home, bringing foster children into your home. The Kosiches have just now taken in two more, bless their hearts. Taking children out of difficult situations. And you've got folks working with CASA. I don't know if you know this or not. Jim McReynolds is on the board for CASA and is a volunteer. And some of you are probably doing that as well. And therefore, you're channeling blessings to those children in the community. And some of you are doing it in so many other ways. You're gracing people with food at the harvest house. And you're gracing people with prayer while they're waiting for food at the harvest house. And you're gracing people by giving them rides to the doctor because they wouldn't be able to get there otherwise. And you're gracing people as they've experienced a loss, and maybe you're taking food to their house in the time of their loss. And you're gracing people who have addictions, and you're helping them work through those. And you're gracing people who are discouraged and depressed. And you're gracing people who are babies in Africa. And some of you are going there, and some of you are sending money there. Most of these things take no special talent. You know this, don't you? Mike and Doris do not have a PhD in holding babies. They learned that a long time ago. And I think probably most all of us can do that kind of thing. Most of these things, most of these graces that we extend to others take no special talent. There is no PhD needed for giving out food. It just takes a willingness and a love. And so I want to wrap this lesson up by coming back to the scripture that was read this morning, the parable of the talents, or in the newer translation, bags of gold. That this master has sent out these servants, and one of them has five bags of gold, and he's supposed to invest them, and one has two, and he's supposed to invest them, and one has one, he's supposed to invest them. And the guy with five does that, and he gets five more, and the guy with two does that, and he gets two more, and the guy with one does not do that, buries it in the ground, and only has the one. And the Lord was none too happy with the talent hoarder, or the bag of gold hoarder. Because bag of gold hoarders, talent hoarders, blessing hoarders really are only thinking of themselves and not of others. And they're putting their talent and they're putting their blessing in the freezer or in the storage facility. God has called us to share our blessings, to be channels of blessings and share with those around us. Everybody's got one. If you can hold a baby, you got a blessing. You got two arms, that's a blessing right there. If you can pray with folks, that's a blessing, and you can pass that on. So the question really that you need to ask yourself is, am I one of those hoarding the blessing, or am I channeling the blessing to others? Let's stand and sing.